Yes. So, yes, we do, again, just make an opportunity for us to be, you know, you'd be thinking about this and, you know, what's the Lord saying to us? How does this register with us as we not only think about our own history, but where we're moving historically in these last days? So, yeah, go ahead.
I just had a quick comment, just simply just for me, as we read this, the first chapter, and then this and here, and then with some of the other stuff that I've been reading the Lord's redirecting, it's just that I see this as just like building block, just some more building block, and not really even understanding sometimes you really what that block is. But I see him just as recognizing just on the like this last chapter, I mean this last paragraph, he's saying how that, you know, that the Lord would be able to fasten onto me that which relates to me.
Yeah. So we know how not only how we fit in, you know, collectively on a corporate way, but what is our place as joints of supply? How we fit in and integrate with the realization of that purpose.
Anyone have anything else? Did you have something?
No, I mean the whole thing was just interpreted.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, and of course, Brother Sparks has been so well used by the Lord to give us interpretation that we've needed. And I was telling the Lord the other day, and this is not hyperbole. I told the Lord, I can't tell you how many times I have literally, that the ministry that God has released through Mr. Sparks has literally saved my life. I told her, I said, I would not be alive today if it had not been for God's intervention in my life in providing that which otherwise you wouldn't even know how to interpret what's going on. And how God is using him so many times to say, oh, now I have your interpretation, I have some understanding, all right, I'm not alone in this. This brother's gone through it, so we can go on. There's direction, we have definition, and there's hope. Is there anything else?
It's okay. It's just pride that I don't know.
Okay.
So I think for me, like, just reading this chapter has been such a circumcision. Just even making it through it is just grieving and breaking. I mean, especially that, like, you know, and obviously people who haven't been here the last 2 weeks don't know what we've just been through, but just that the whole assembly will be held up for two people. Mm-hmm. And just the experience of that everything comes to a screeching halt and death fills the entire atmosphere for the sin of two people. And just the reality of that hitting me and letting it really break me, that the Lord sees, and that, I mean, in one sense, if you don't lay hold of the full purpose of God, then you experience condemnation. If you laid hold of the full purpose of God, you see that it's an invitation and that he's jealous and that he is not willing to, like so many other, you know, groups or anything, just let them settle. Let them settle in mediocrity. Let us settle in compromise. To me, it's very searching and also very, in a way, it honors me. It gives me dignity that the Lord would be so jealous over me the last 2 weeks and to expose sin, to expose what remains in me that at any point, you know, in certain circumstances would be triggered into idolatry. And so, though it was, you know, every day throughout, you know, several times, Sally would continually tell me, you are loved, but you need to understand the cost, that as you take this journey, the cost is great, not just for you, but people around you. And how much more for the Lord. It was literally like the entire assembly was held up for a week so that the ground could be exposed, purified, the Lord's testimony could be restored, and that we could move forward. And I think for me that's very sobering, it's very humbling, and you know, my flesh rises up and wants to make excuses, it wants to project, it wants anyone else to be accountable for my own sin, but before the Lord, there's only one accountable for the choices that I made, and that's me. Mm-hmm. And so, I think this chapter just emphasizes, you know, like the greater calling that, you know, where he talks about that, that it's about overcoming spiritual death, and that that death would be poured out on the overcomer to waste it of its power, that we might learn to overcome it in life. And so, in that place, as Christ overcomes in us, to rule and reign with him in the heavenlies and displays principalities and powers by his testimony in us. And so, unto that end, there was no cost the last 2 weeks, you know, unto that end. But, I mean, it was hell for everyone. And I have to own the fact that I was very responsible in all of it. And before the Lord, if I can do that, then I can receive his grace and lay hold of a greater purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
I'll just you know, individually, things were happening in all of our lives during this period of time. And so it's not like nothing happened. It's not like, because each individual was tested with reference to where he or she is or was or will continue to be. So God is a great economizer, even in these kind of situations. The other thing is, as I was going through this, it's like going back and seeing the whole history. There's two things. Satan always prepositions himself as he looks ahead and anticipates what God is planning to do. And that's, I think, very much the adversary's positioning himself by capturing so many of us, not just here, but all, you know, that make up the body of Christ, who have been brought into the realm of satanic ritual abuse and association. That's a prepositioning.
Yes,
when it happens that early, it's prepositioning. Yes, just as the adversary put those giants in the land of Canaan before Israel came across the Jordan there, so they were prepositioned to keep God's people from having that which is the inheritance that he had for them. And that's an earthly thing, but in our case we're talking about a heavenly thing. And I just think, and you said this before, we've not had to make great turns or reverses in our history from the very beginning. It has been with a forward movement. There has been great refining, there has been great enlargement in different ways, and great what's the word, you know, as we go through, he's peeling off that which represents the earthly touch in the world, and he's applying the cross in so many different ways, so that we are being released in a sense from that root, which makes us earthbound and earthly, and it is a progression heavenly. But it's like, this is the purpose, this is the reason, this is the path. This is where he's taken us and where he's headed. And there's no guarantee. I mean, we each one are confronted with what it means to be an overcomer on a daily basis. And so it's not over till it's over. And so there's that which really requires a watchfulness on each of us on our part. But God, it's like he said, this is where I'm taking you. And of course we've been whittled down and whittled down over and over as the Lord does that. But as a nucleus, it's like, I think his preserving sparks and these articles like this is really the stamp of confirmation of what God intends and what he wants and what he will have in a company. So, my gosh, what great lengths he's gone to to see to it that we have everything we need to finish this course. It is amazing. Reading this and just having it like the Lord go back and say, yep, and just bring everything forward and say, this is the right course. You're on course. You have been on course. Keep on course.
That is tremendous. You know, and I can listen to this, and I have absolutely no emotional response. I don't feel elated. But in my spirit, there is that solid knowing that what you're saying and what you're sharing is absolutely correct with no emotion. And nor is there a sense that there's something wrong or I need to have some emotion. I told the Lord when I was coming over here tonight, I was walking up the hill, I need strength to even be here. Because I just, you know, I don't really have any strength to even be here tonight. Just is not there. And just come in faith. And just to continue on often. There's nothing there. And so, he's here, there's no emotion, and yet there's something on a spiritual level that keeps, it just says, amen, yes, the Lord is meeting with us, he is defining individually and corporately where we are, and as we meet on Friday for our prayer time, and it'll be interesting to see what how our prayers will be affected by that kingdom intelligence briefing that was just shared right after the election by Dr. Michael Lake and his wife Mary Lou. They talk about the multiplicity and how things went on in this election that are just like nothing that's ever happened before. So, wow, we really live in an amazing time that God has given us some reprieve. This is so gracious of Him. This is a miracle of, this is a complete miracle. There's no precedent for this. I mean, you read the pundits and everything, they've never seen an election like this. Here's a man that's not even a politician, has no political history, ends up being the president of the United States. I mean, does the Lord have a sense of humor or what, you know? I mean, and here we are, in this segment of history. Just so you understand some of the way in which people have picked up on this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says that we, when we are alive and remain, shall caught up to be the Lord. When is that? The last trump.
That's funny.
This is the 45th president. It's what, 5777 in Israel's history. There's all kinds of stuff that's synchronizing. This is what a jubilee year, another Shemitah. All these different things are converging. Mm-hmm. Israel will be a nation. What be in the land? In 2017, 70 years, that's a generation. There's lots of convergence going on. But it's just unprecedented to have someone who is not a politician, who never wanted to be a president, but says, look, I'm going to do something for my country, who knows how to be successful, who knows how to put a team together. He didn't have to be all that smart in politics. He can choose this guy he can choose whoever he wants in his cabinet. If he needs to make presidential decision, I could do it. If I was chosen, it'd be easy. I would choose the top people in the military field, economists, you know, around me. So if I had to make a decision, I would make sure I was so well informed that when I made a decision based upon the best input that I could find out there, whatever those cabinet positions would be. It would be a piece of cake from that standpoint. You don't have to be that smart. He is smart. So here we are in this history. I want to say something else, is that Desmond Doss, who is a Congressional Medal of Honor winner, and I have the Green Book, you know, they have all the Congressional Medal of Honor winners up until, you know, I guess the Vietnam War. And so I read that, and it doesn't mention he's a conscientious objector. It just mentions it with intrepidity, that is, he didn't give in to cowardice, in great valiantry, that he time and time again went out into the battlefield under withering fire and drug people back from, they would otherwise be dead, 75 people. And I think maybe it was you was telling me that when they were doing the film, when they were actually doing the dragging the bodies, these people could only do one or two, and they were exhausted. And yet this scrawny little guy from Virginia, I mean, he's scrawny. He up there all night, dragged 75 people, hundreds of yards, to save their life. It's supernatural strength. He's exhausted. Lord, just one more. He'd lay there and pray. One more. He'd go out again and drag out one more. He did that time and time again. And it's interesting, I think you were sharing, that if it was you or it was Lori, I don't remember, but there was a Japanese after the war that had Desmond in his sights numerous times. And when he pulled the trigger, it click, it didn't fire. Why? Because he had angels assigned to him. And the physics of a hammer hitting the firing pin, and that firing pin hits the blasting cap in that bullet, and then that fires the powder, and the powder ignites, and the bullet is projected through the barrel. Click. What makes that not work? What is behind the physics of shutting down a normal firing of a bullet? Who knows? But it clicked, click, click, who knows how many times, and he was spared. So because he was on an assignment and he was trusting the Lord, and he would pray, and he prayed for those men. I mean, they were given that final assignment on to take that ridge. They had been thrust back numerous times, and so it was Saturday. The commanding officer says, "You're going to have to take it. We have to take it on this Saturday." But he was Seventh-day Adventist. He didn't do anything on the Saturday, so he couldn't do it. And so he said, "Well, the men won't go without you, because you know they know that this guy does anything to get these people back to safety and that have been wounded." And so, evidently, maybe the Lord spoke to him. The Lord is for the Sabbath, and man is for the Sabbath, and the Sabbath is for the man. You know, that's what the Lord designed it. Maybe the Lord spoke to him. But he said, well, I need to pray first. So they're waiting to make this thing, and he's over there praying. And after he's through praying, then they all go up, and they complete the mission, and they finally take the ridge. So it is a story of tremendous perseverance. Talk about, in the natural, overcoming the life in history of Desmond Doss, and that final battle in Okinawa is a tremendous testimony. It really is something. So we, you know, if that's in the natural, how much more, you know, what God has called us to is just keep on going on. Just one more time, one more time. I'm not going to go down. I'm going to get up. I don't care what happens. You know, whatever happened this last week, you know, however demoralized it is, you know, there's no basis of going on. No, we just keep getting up, like my pastor ordained me, said, you may get knocked down, but you get back up just one more round. You get knocked down, it doesn't mean you're knocked out. You get right back up again, there's another round, and that's the fight of faith. So, any other thoughts or comments on what we heard tonight? Well, we thank the Lord for this opportunity is given us, so we bless you, Lord, and strengthen us through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.